McKee goes fade, left side of the end zone, easy catch, Brown. That one on Bland, turned him inside out. Touchdown, Philadelphia.
Brad Sham with the call on your home of the Dallas Cowboys. It is a Cowboys Monday with a fan replay brought to you by Ciroc Vodka. I'm Sean Sharif along Cowboys Insider, alongside Cowboys Insider Bobby Bell. Back from Filthy, we're going to have best and worst of the weekend. This is the commercial-free expressway, so no commercials. You no need to go anywhere else during the next 30-plus minutes on DFW Sports Station. We go commercial-free every single day at this time. 41-7, A.J. Brown finally gets involved there, takes the first career touchdown pass from Tanner McKee, who went in for Kenny Pickett's broken ribs, and chunked that thing into the crowd. A.J. then realizes, oh my God, that's McKee's, that's his memorabilia. That's his history right there. And then Big Dom has to get involved.
Hey.
Wouldn't be a freaking NFL Sunday if Big Dom was not a storyline. He goes over, they locate the fan, negotiates next to Mike Trout and Bradley Cooper and whoever else is there. And AJ ends up signing a jersey to trade back for the football. And the fans, I did my civic duty. I did my part. I got you. I got you, man. Here you go, Tanner McKee.
They sent their muscle. They sent Luca Brasi up there. They sent Big Dom up there to make him an offer he couldn't refuse.
Yeah.
Give us the ball back. And so, it's nice. I will say, this seems like it happens a lot. How many times has this happened where we get this story of like, wow, how awful. He tossed his first touchdown up there. He did something. Like, I feel like this has occurred a couple different times. That must tell me, like, players are not aware of that at
all. Yeah.
Like, because we always look at it as like, how
would
you not
know?
They
seem to know it was Penix's first one yesterday, though. I feel like after Kyle Pitts caught it, he, like, gave it back to Michael, but, you know, first round hyped rookie versus an absolute no name.
Yeah, and like a very clearly a big quarterback change that took place where they know, all right, this guy's walking in. Whereas Tanner McKee, he had just come in the game. Like Kenny Pickett just got knocked out. I don't know that A.J. Brown's aware of how much opportunity he's gotten.
McKee looked pretty decent too.
Yeah.
He made some nice throws.
Look, I mean, when you got some of those windows open like you did yesterday, but yeah, he did. The one to Brown that wasn't a touchdown that was close. Put it where only he could get it, and then the next one where they actually scored on it, nice throw. He looked good.
Are the agents at work in the coaching hot stove circles? Yesterday, ESPN pregame, Adam Schefter was asked if Mike McCarthy has saved his job or not.
When I say maybe, it's not that he's not deserving. It's that it goes both ways. Number one, Jerry Jones has got to decide, hey, I want to renew him, and Mike McCarthy has the ability to go talk to whoever he wants about a head coaching job.
Awesome. Huh.
So he can go listen to the New Orleans Saints, where he's coached before. If they want to talk to him, he can go listen to the New York Jets. He can go listen to any team that has an opening that wants to go talk to Mike McCarthy. So it goes both ways. And by the way, they've talked about what a great job he's done, and people saying he saved his job. I think he's absolutely proven himself to a certain extent. But the fact of the matter is, Jerry Jones has not given him an extension. He's not done anything like that just yet. So this has played on, which tells me that Jerry is interested in Mike, but Jerry also is probably reviewing his options.
So this is my favorite question to ask everyone. It's my new most fascinating question of the offseason. It's not new. We've brought it up before, but haven't really had the knockdown, drag-out fight. Is Mike McCarthy going to get another head coaching job? Is Mike McCarthy desired by anyone else in the National Football League? I love the question. I love the answers. It's a fascinating topic. It's a difficult one, I think, to come up with an answer for. Let us know on the Frank and the Franco Injury Attorney text line, 877-881-1053. Bobby has felt no in a phone call a couple weeks ago. It brought us. He goes, yeah, I think that Mike McCarthy will be a head coach again if it is not here. But that's Adam Schefter bringing up the Saints and the Jets. Here's very well-known Mike McCarthy supporter Jay Glazer on Fox discussing this.
Mike McCarthy, actually, him and all the coaches, their contracts expire in 2 weeks. So Jerry Jones is going to sit down with them, obviously, probably the week after the season ends there. But if they decide not to do something with Mike McCarthy, Mike McCarthy is actually on other teams' coaching lists if the Cowboys decide not to re-sign him.
Here we go in trying to sift through all the mess and the coaching webs, Roberto.
All right, so I've evolved
from Friday or whenever your rant was.
There, Nick.
Yeah,
Bobby has.
I think McCarthy's back.
Mr. 2%.
Bobby's got a conscience.
Mr. 1% to 2% is now going over 50. What a hell of a jump Mike McCarthy is now back. I'm glad. Returning from vacation was worth it just for that moment.
It's almost like when you guys say, I never admit I'm wrong, there's like a reason for it. These kind of spikes right here that make it a bit. Yeah. Well, I'm trying to grow here as a person.
Yeah.
I'm just saying, after talking, I think the sense from a lot of people is he's coming back. Like the more people you talk to. And this specifically made me, just reading tea leaves and connecting things, I think these reports right here about, McCarthy could have interest around the league, that to me seems like somebody who's confident he's coming back. Because this is clearly a, even if it's not from Mike McCarthy himself.
Well, here's what
maybe it's his agent, Don Yee.
Common sense would tell you, I find it interesting that you think it's from a point of confidence. It could be a point of fear, right? Just trying to drum up interest, but you can finish your point on that in a second. Common sense would just tell you that Don Yee, Tom Brady's agent, Brian Broaddus's agent, he gets to the insiders, brings up some other teams to create the threat to the Cowboys and the urgency that, hey, just so you know, we have places to go. So you think you're holding all the cards? Oh, we have other options too. And that would be the Saints. That would be the Jets. Didn't the Cleveland Browns interview Mike?
Well, I think they did when their job was open.
Stefanski could very well be gone, even though initial reports, I think Jonathan Jones, CBS, says that Stefanski, the GM, and Watson are all coming back. Common sense would tell you this is the agent telling Glazer and Schefter these other teams are interested in Mike to create some negotiation and some leverage.
Schefter has broken every single report of coaches that Don Yee has signed to his agency. Diana Russini.
Who represents Pete Carroll?
I'm not sure.
The reason I asked that, Florio, my guy, I say that with my head down today. It depends what day it is in terms of claiming Florio. Florio and Schefter fought over Christmas, and I thought Mike was really petty and wrong in this.
Ooh.
Is it Don Yee?
No, I'm just saying, like, you saying you thought Florio was wrong. And
yeah, petty. Good God. Mike, there's another Mike that Florio can't stand in town that I'm like, you guys are more similar than you ever realize. It's amazing how that works sometimes. But Schefter reported Pete Carroll was interested in the Bears job. Florio instantly jumps back and goes, oh, here's Schefter carrying the water for an agent. Here he is. That's all he's doing. You know, it's not ethical. It's not, and it's like, what are you, Mike, shut up. Shut up, Florio. What are you doing? You're being petty. It looks like you're being jealous. It looks like you're looking up. And Schefter wrote back, which he doesn't do a lot. Keep being wrong. Merry Christmas.
Would Florio report, and I enjoyed talking to Florio on here. Like, and I think he's engaging.
Yeah, he's an irritant like you.
Yeah. But would Florio, like, if Florio had come into information from any source that Pete Carroll is it, like, you don't need to have an agent's a good source to tell us it.
And the report is Pete Carroll's interested in the Bears.
Right.
How is that false? It's not that the Bears are interested in Pete Carroll.
Right. It's not, you're not having an agent feed you something false about a team's thoughts. This is directly about what does the coach want to do.
Florio's way off on this.
So I look at Don Yee stuff was always reported by Adam Schefter. Diana Russini's always been very on top of Sean Payton movements. Sean Payton's agent is Don Yee. Pelissero reported some stuff. Oh, other teams are interested in Mike McCarthy. Well, Pelissero and Glazer, we already know they're McCarthy guys. So a coordinated effort where in the span of 2 days, we get four reports from areas like this that say, all right, fine. Here's why I think he's doing it from a position of power. Why this leak might be coming out now. I think that Mike McCarthy has felt like he wasn't in a position most of the season. I think Mike McCarthy probably privately thought he was losing his job. I think that now what you're seeing is how much of the discussion have we heard is about Mike, if he's back, might not be the offensive coordinator. I think it's very possible this is a leverage play to make sure he retains play calling if he comes back. Because I don't think that he would, if he really didn't know if he was coming back, I don't think he'd risk anything. He's got enough money in the bank. Mike's fine. I think this is about coming back on his terms and wanting to do it his way. And so to me, I think this kind of stuff could, this kind of chatter can leak out or anything else, because I think you're trying to create a leverage point to say, I need that from you.
Yeah.
We already know I'm staying, which I think he believes he's staying. McCarthy does. I think you can hear it in the way he's talking to media, the way his demeanor is in the last week. I think he believes he's here. And so I think he's just looking at it as, all right, this is my bid then to try and retain play calling, is create a leverage point and then say, I want to entertain these things. Look, there are other people who think I'm a good option. You guys need to trust me on this and let me do things my way.
I just can't wrap my mind around it. I can't believe it. I cannot believe we're sitting here talking about McCarthy coming. This may be the most Jerry thing ever, that Mike McCarthy gets extended after 7-10 or 8-9.
Yeah, I don't know what you're talking about.
After not getting extended following 12-5 playoffs. That would be the most Jerry thing. And I don't know if Jerry and Steven care or are that aware. It's hard to imagine they're not aware, that they're not that aware of the absolute gut punch to the fan base with the loss of hope exiting the bodies of Cowboy fans once you decide to run it back. That's the number one thing. That's the number one thing that jumps into my mind. Like, are you not aware of how little people will care following this last offseason? Now, that could be dead wrong, because Jerry could hold up a piece of paper and go, you see these numbers, whippersnapper, yahoo?
Yahoo, yeah.
You see these ratings? You see this attendance? You see the merchandise? You see the sales? All that apathy talk you guys have, all that more and more people are going to turn it off and not care, it's not evidence on paper. That's where my mind goes when I hear all of this. And then my first question, which we're going to have to ask Jerry if this ever becomes official, why? Why is Mike coming back? Is Mike coming back because of 4 out of 5 against the Commanders, Giants, Cincy, Carolina, and Tampa? That's what you're telling me. That's the only thing you could tell me. It was 4 out of 5 where Bobby lost his mind on fans who, you know, lost their minds for a month period. Commanders, Giants, Bengals, Panthers, Buccaneers. That 4 out of 5 is the reason you're bringing Mike back? Tell me why.
How much of it is, because this has been a discussion point lately, how much of it is just about another year because we don't like the crop of candidates? Because here are the names you're talking about right now that'll be hot this offseason. Cliff Kingsbury.
Feels like a very weak field.
Yeah, Cliff Kingsbury, Mike Vrabel, Vance Joseph, Brian Flores, maybe Saleh could be. Does somebody want to give Arthur Smith another shot?
Ugh.
Can Matt Nagy be convinced to leave Kansas City, where people assume he's the heir apparent for Andy Reid? Like, those are the names you're talking about.
Well, here's what I would say back to you, or if it was Jerry or Steven, and it's very much a Derrick Henry question. Did you have a conversation with Bill Belichick, and are you having a conversation with Mike Vrabel? I can dismiss all those other names right now. You got to tell me that you investigated and you looked into Vrabel.
Now, they could talk to Belichick whenever they want. They can't talk to Vrabel right now, because Vrabel is tech. I don't believe they can by rules, because he's a consultant with Cleveland. So they'd have to get official league permission.
Yeah, whatever.
No, I mean,
we know how that stuff works.
I know. I'm just saying they would never publicly say that.
Right, yeah. Right. No, I just would like to know behind the scenes. Did you investigate Mike Vrabel? Did you talk to him?
Tell me why.
Be Jerry and Steven and tell me why you're bringing Mike back. You be them.
Look, he's a Super Bowl winning head coach. You look at the injuries we sustained. That you know, matters. And boy, I thought that he really showed through adversity that he could get this football team rallied. And it gave me encouragement that, yeah, we're really close. We just didn't have everybody available to us. And there's no need to upset the apple cart.
Okay. And my response back as a fan would be, and this is where, you know, that rant that everyone talked about from you last week, maybe I shut it off a couple minutes early, but I listened to the majority of it. I thought it was overblown. I didn't think that you totally, completely, like, lost your mind. And everyone knows I'm the first one to criticize you, including your wife. She knows that. I didn't think it was something that crazy. I didn't think this all-time epic radio meltdown where you were yelling and screaming and lost your mind. I was expecting to feel a lot more cringy about it. And maybe, again, I turn it off 2 or 3 minutes early, but I understood what you were saying, and I agree with what you were saying about the mentality of the fan base, those that got swept into and fell for the standard being lowered.
Mm-hmm.
The standard being lowered. It's like us. If we finish top five in ratings, some people are fine with that, and I think that's a loser mentality. Oh, let me just keep collecting my paycheck. That's fine. Are we one or two? That's what the standard's supposed to be, and that is how some Cowboy fans got suckered in to this Mike McCarthy talk. Like, guys, forget about what they did with Cooper Rush. Forget about what they did in this 4 out of 5. What are you when you're at your best? When they are healthy, when they're a 12-win team, when Dak has a second runner MVP season, a runner-up MVP season, finishing second in the voting, you're still not that close to a Super Bowl champion. That's the answer. That's my standard. That's the beginning and that's the end of the talk and the topic. But the Cowboys have capitalized and, well, I don't know if they've done it yet. The Cowboys have taken advantage of, Nick Wright actually said on FS1, the resetting of expectation. Oh my God, so next year, you're telling me we can be a second round playoff team and back to 12 wins after this miserable 8-win season? Oh my God, it's like the beaten down girlfriend who is happy once in a while that they get a gift on their anniversary. No. That's not, you're supposed to get a gift every anniversary. The gifts in your life are supposed to improve and get better. But it's like this beaten, psychologically whipped fan who has now taken 3 steps backwards. So then when you take that 1 step forward, it's like, oh my God, everything's fine and well again. No, you forgot what the standard is. And I think that was the essence of your rant.
Yeah, basically, to me, it was just the idea that why are we holding up as the standard? Like, there's a reason why quitting gets coaches fired, because it is such an unacceptably low threshold that if you can't meet it, it's you've clearly hit a cancerous point with your football team.
Yeah. And who so cares? Okay, they didn't quit on him. That doesn't mean that you're closer to a Super Bowl.
Yeah, and I mean, look, you got to remember Brian has made the point that he thinks a lot of these guys are playing for themselves, not selfishly, but they're playing hard because they have contracts coming up and they've got things that they've got to concern themselves with. And you got to remember, it's not just McCarthy. It's a whole mess of assistant coaches that they work closely with that they're like, man, if Mike loses a job, they're out of a job and they need to support their family. How do we set things up here? And so, I mean, I think that there's just a human nature aspect that takes over there. That's why quitting is so toxic. It just says, man, well, you must hate everything about this culture right now.
I also saw Kevin with a really good point on Twitter saying the whole quitter thing is overblown. Like, teams don't actually do it.
It's very rare.
It might be a media narrative thing that has gotten out of control, and Mike and others are getting credit for it, that we're not actually seeing, you know, all the business decisions and Ole tackles. That once you get a surprising win in a mediocre parity-driven NFL, we're like, oh my God, you didn't quit.
Yeah.
And the New York Giants don't have quitters. They beat the Colts.
Yeah.
Or are the Colts just like that up and down and consistent and the league is just that even? I don't know. It's something to delve into.
Does this save Antonio Pierce's job? You won 2 games at the end of the year.
Right.
You've been awful.
Right. But I see Giants fans going, Daboll just saved his job. Joe Shane, Daboll, they just saved their job. I don't know if that's true, but that's the psychological effect that this whole quitting topic has on people. Yeah. And again, whoop-de-freaking-do. Who cares? Oh, Dad, I took out the trash today. Okay. You did what you were supposed to do. That's the bare minimum. Congratulations. Are you getting good grades? Are you elevating? Who can? But this mind trick, I think Jerry and Steven are going to capitalize on when they announce that Mike is back, and there'll be less rebellion and storming of AT&T or the Star that I was expecting.
Yeah, I mean, look, here's the thing: is that does Mike deserve credit for overseeing a culture and an offensive program that has been able to have guys step in and play on short notice and have success and win games? Like, the fact that they're 12-6 with a backup quarterback in their last 18. Is that an objectively impressive thing? Yes, it is. And it's something that, okay, you've clearly got something here that is universal and one size fits all, to where anybody can step in and play and you can have success. That's good. Why are you not having that success when your best players are out there and your biggest investments are that? And is that... That could be a player problem. It could have nothing to do with McCarthy.
Here's my problem. One of my many problems. I don't trust the Joneses' motivation. I don't trust their motivation in bringing Mike back if they do it. Is it out of comfort? Do you just like the setup? Do you love the ease of the relationships? Do you not want to go out and do all the legwork and the grinding of interviewing all the other people? Do you really believe that this is your number one shot at a championship, or are you just comfortable with the setup? In my mind, and I have no real reporting or truth on this, it's just an opinion, my mind immediately goes to, it's comfortable. It's an easier setup than going and talking for hours and hours and setting up Bill Belichick sit-downs or making phone calls to Mike Vrabel. And that's not what the standard's supposed to be about around here.
Do you think they view it potentially as, look, when Mike's here,
it makes it feel like they're fine with 12-5 and in the mix. Now, RJ, if he was sitting here, would go, that's the goal for any team. That's the goal for any team. If you're 12-5, you're in the mix, and then it's a bunch of luck to determine. Like, you've done 90% of your job as a front office. And I can see a little bit of that discussion, but during this point in time, every year, what do I come in here and say? Oh my God, after watching these playoff games, the sobering reality of just how far away you are sets in. The Dallas Cowboys are not that close. You could be a playoff team and still not be that close. Come on, y'all. Y'all know that. Don't fall for this luck of the draw and roll the dice in the tournament. Yes, it does play a factor, but they have not and are not that close.
Do you think, similar to what you just said, RJ's perspective is, do you think the Joneses just look at it as, Mike is a good bet to get us to the playoffs every year? Like, that's a solid bet that we can do that. So once we get there, is it worth potentially disrupting things and making the wrong hire and having us miss the playoffs when we believe that once you're in the playoffs, it just comes down to players? It's not about coaches at that point. It's about players, and are you better than them across from you? And we believe we've built a roster that's better than the one across from us. Do you think it's possible that's how they look at McCarthy and they go, no, it's too much of a risk. If you move on from McCarthy, you're jeopardizing even being there to have that luck of the draw standard in January.
Maybe. I think the first part of it, I agree with. The second part, I would like to believe they don't think, well, coaching just doesn't matter in the playoffs. It's the players. And our arrogance of building the roster puts us up against anybody. I believe the first part of, hey, it's nice to know we're in that double-digit win category. But that's just the way I live my life with it. Like, it's not good enough. If it's not good enough, it has to go. That's just the way it is. Not like I can live with it. Yeah, it's okay. That's just not the way I am.
Their last Super Bowl was similar to that. The last Super Bowl they won was Switzer was decent enough to get them around it and get them in contention. And when they got there, players will tell you that we're on that Super Bowl 30 scene. They're like, we were not prepped as well as Pittsburgh was in that game. Pittsburgh probably should have beaten us. We were just that much better than them. The problem is that team had 7 Hall of Famers on it, probably, when everything's all said and done. You don't have 7 Hall of Famers on your team. So, yeah, all right, in that instance, and in a weakened AFC where the AFC hadn't won a Super Bowl in, what, like 10 years? We were in a 10-year stretch without the AFC winning. Yeah, like, you can overcome that a little bit. It's a David versus Goliath thing. You're not David versus Goliath when you walk into the playoffs a lot of times. A lot of times it's, no, you're pretty evenly matched, and margins like who's preparing better, who's making the right decisions, that matters.
Yes.
Now, I'm curious because you weren't in last week. You talked about how you just – the allure of Belichick was a pull for you.
Yes.
And you want him, is Carroll that way for you at all?
Look, I think Pete Carroll is getting disrespected in all of this. I think Pete Carroll is a winner, but I'm not like, I want Mike Vrabel definitely over Pete Carroll. And I'm wondering, it sounds crazy because Pete is so old. Is Pete better for a rebuild than a finish?
Isn't Pete older than Belichick, I think? I think he's like a couple months older than even Belichick.
Yeah, like, is Pete Carroll better for a rebuild than a finish? What would be your answer to that? Because, I mean, we all know he's not the typical 73-year-old. He's 73. But is his energy and, like, is Pete Carroll finishing piece? And Pete Carroll is probably going to end up being like an all-time underrated coach with the way history remembers him.
Oh,
no one is pining for him whatsoever. The fact that he needs Schefter to put his name out there is kind of sad. Pete Carroll, he's a possible Hall of Famer.
History will be kinder to Pete Carroll than present day was, because I think a lot of it was he was viewed as, you held Russell Wilson back. And then when everything went along as it did, people were like, oh, maybe he protected Russell Wilson.
Yeah.
Maybe they actually...
But should have had two titles.
Yeah.
The winning Seattle has done here in the past 2 or 3 years is a big-time NFL surprise for me. Pete Carroll's the one who was there for the resurrection of Geno Smith's career.
Yep.
How would you feel about Pete Carroll?
I like Pete Carroll. I think you're right. I don't know that Pete Carroll is the push-it-over coach.
Is Pete Carroll better coach than Mike McCarthy?
Yes, I think so.
Is Pete Carroll better coach than Mike Shanahan?
No.
Is Pete Carroll better coach than Bill Cowher? Mike Holmgren?
Probably not better than Holmgren. Cowher, it's such a... I mean, because you also get down into the question of X's and O's versus culture, or that like, because I mean, Shanahan, for instance, it's no question Shanahan's a better X's and O's guy than Pete Carroll. Does Pete Carroll, as San Francisco's culture feels like it's maybe taking a turn, does Pete Carroll deserve a lot of credit for keeping a culture together that we heard stories about after, where Richard Sherman hates Russell Wilson and these guys?
Yeah.
Like, does he get Mike Tomlin credit for, man, we didn't realize how much he kind of held that together.
Is it a hard-ass program or country club?
He's supposed to be Quinn-like. Like, and makes sense. Quinn coached with Pete Carroll, but he's supposed to be optimistic, upbeat. Guys, let's attack the day with a great energy. Like, yeah. That's Carroll. And I kind of wonder,
I view
Harbaugh, for instance. I thought Harbaugh was a push it over guy.
Yeah.
And so there are certain coaches where it's like, that's a push
it over. And more the attitude and approach I want here in terms of the hard ass.
Yeah. And I don't know that there's a push it over guy that's available right now. Saban? Would you call Saban and just be like,
no,
you want to come back for a year?
Nah, that's a little too much.
It's a Hail Mary.
I don't think he's a Hail Mary. I mean, Nick Saban, he can't get along with NFL people.
He can't get along with stand-up comedians who make jokes about Alabama paying players.
What a whiny beast. He is soft.